some borrowed glasses on and I couldn't see anything with them on. So it's good to see y'all all out there, smiling faces. It is so hot. I know we've got some members that stayed home this morning. I know some of them just are not getting out. So appreciate y'all coming today. You know, be sure and stay safe and stay cool. We need to be praying for a lot of people who maybe not have cooling that's going on. The ushers are passing out our attendance and registration pads. Please be sure and sign them. If you're not getting our weekly emails, be sure and put your email address out to the side or let the office know. And if you're a visitor, just put down your information. We've got visitor information cards in the pews along with prayer requests. So all the stuff's just right there. Announcements this morning. I know Kim's got an announcement. There she is. Yeah, go ahead and come on up.
Good morning, everyone. Well, we know what time it is. School's just right around the corner, right? New school year. Missions is partnering with the youth to fill the backpacks that they'll be taking out to Norville Children's Home. But along with that, we of course have our schools across the street, Brandenburg and Hanley, that we also help out with school supplies. Min and I went to Walmart yesterday, and guess what? They already have things on sale. We got pens for our 97 cents. We got crayons, two for a dollar. You know, you always need folders, composition books. These are a quarter. I mean, hand sanitizer, backpacks. What's in there, Amanda? Just about everything?
Filler paper.
Yes. And this is a hot commodity, this manila drawing paper. So if you find this, grab it, because they're always needing that. But we are so blessed as a church and as a people. So if you can maybe pick up a couple of extra things as you're at Walmart. Oh, absolutely. We need backpacks as well. But Staples, all these stores are having school supply sales. So pick some things up for us. And there is a donation box that's right out there in the Northex, and you can drop them off there. Thank you so much. Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you have a list of specific items?
No. Just general. Notebook,
so,
paper.
Okay.
But I tell you what, if you don't feel like getting out in this heat and you just want to make a donation, just put it on the envelope and put missions, school supplies. I'd be more than happy to go shopping and purchase some items for you.
Oh, that's good.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Kim. All right, looking through the announcements, we've got several prayer requests and some updates, and VBS is just around the corner, right, Joseph? So take a look. We've still got some needs, it looks like, and I know y'all had, Joseph, y'all had your last summer event where you're on the Fridays where you're doing that, but you've got a bigger one coming up, right? Were you going to tell everybody about that a little bit? Okay, more to come, more to come. And let's see, I think other than the fifth Sunday potluck, which is coming up, but all y'all remember that, right? We got five Sundays in July, so that means we've got a potluck coming up next week. So tell all your friends, members who haven't been here, tell them that. And also, I was supposed to make an announcement that you know, it is summer, and our utilities have been going up a little bit, so I'm going to go ahead and mention to people if we're falling a little bit behind. So if you're on vacation or you're going to be out of town and you haven't been able to make your offering or whatever, you can mail those into the church office. It's just that time of the year where everything's getting a little hotter than we had kind of planned for. So I just wanted to mention it. PayPal, they can also PayPal. And if you don't know what PayPal is, you can talk to Amy. Thank y'all very much. I got it.
So, yeah, I was just going to just piggyback off Mark said about the heat, mention of heat. It's very, very important that we monitor our family members, friends, and neighbors. No one, if you're aware of any person, especially if they're elderly or older, who is living in a home without air conditioning, we need to know that, because we can try to find the resources to get some sort of relief. Because this is, as you know, this is dangerous heat. Even our most seasoned people who work out in the heat are finding it to be a struggle. So if you know anybody, just let us know. Just call the church office, and we'll see what we can do to provide some assistance. Also, I just wanted to say real quick that I was gone this past week as well, and you know, I just feel like I'm out of touch, you know, for this particular month. But I was doing military duty. Let me tell you, it is, I feel genuine in saying this, but it is so good to be home with you. So I'm glad to see familiar faces, and everybody here is so supportive and so nice, and I just wanted to thank you for that. All right.
Amen. Let's stand and join together as we lift the name of Jesus Christ.
I guess everybody's on vacation. So you're stuck with me, okay? Can you help us do this? All right. Like Mark said, we had our last Friday event this past week. As you speak of the heat, we were running around in the zoo. I think we did half the zoo. And then we decided that, you know what? We're going to go find the water, and we're just going to play in the water for a while. And I think that's how we ended the day. But we had a good time at the zoo. I was going to make a shirt that said, I nearly survived summer of 18. But I fell asleep, so I couldn't make it. But we had a really good time. And I think, you know, with these Friday activities, it got an opportunity for us as a church to kind of be out, show the community that we are still here. We had about 12 kids come from outside the church in these past Fridays. So we had some outreach there that got some families here. Mark mentioned that we have one more event, a Friday event, a couple weeks from now. Let me get past VBS and survive. But we have one event in August that's going to be on a Friday. You'll definitely have more information coming about this. But we need all of you to be a part of that event. It's going to be here at the church. And basically, it's a huge community rally last of the summer, right before school starts. And it's very deep. Very deep, very... It's going to be... Yeah. So we're gonna invite the community here. We're going to feed them a simple spaghetti dinner kind of thing. We're going to have a family movie time for younger kids. And then we're going to have a Nerf war for the older kids. And there'll be some stuff out here on the grass, and it's just going to be a big time. What we need you for is for you to come and shake hands with the parents, for you to come and talk about what you guys are doing here at the church, so that there's a connection. I'm the children's guy. That's what I'm supposed to do. But you guys, they get to see you guys, get to see who you are, get to see how friendly and nice you guys are, and entice them to kind of come back and visit with us some more. So that's what that event's going to be, kind of tie up the rest of our summer. So, I'm done, I think. Are you done? Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to lead them in our affirmation of faith. You guys look so excited. Are you still exhausted? No, not really. All right. So follow with us for our affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, dead and buried, the third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you. As the kids make their way out, I would encourage you to greet your neighbor at this time, and then after our first song, start making your way back to your seats.
continue to worship. You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield, though troubles linger still. Whom shall strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me. It is the victory. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall
so blessed, and I know it's because people are praying for me, and I'm praying for all of you.
Somebody's praying, I can feel it. Somebody's praying for me. Mighty hands are guiding me to protect me from what I can't see. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Somebody's praying for me. Thank you. tension. I can feel it. Angels are watching over me. There's many miles ahead till I get home. Still I'm safely kept before your throne. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Angels are watching over me. Now I've walked the barren wilderness, where my pillow was a stone. And I've been through the darkest caverns, where no light had ever shone. Still I went on, 'cause there was someone who was down on their knees. And Lord, I thank you for those people praying all this time. Me. Somebody is praying. I can feel it. Somebody's praying for me. Mighty hands are guiding me to protect me from what I can't see. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Somebody's praying for me. Somebody's praying for me. And it's Jesus. He prays for each and every one of us because we are his little children. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Nice song. Thank you, Gary, for sharing that with us. I enjoy bantering back and forth with Gary at times, especially about his haircut. But he really has a good heart and a dedication to the faith, so we appreciate him very much. And the song is appropriate because we have our pastoral prayer time, and I know that Suman is still in rehab. I'm not aware of anybody else that's in a facility right now. I haven't been briefed. If you know somebody, let me know, and we'll be sure to follow up and visit with those people. Somebody praying for me. It's important that we look at our prayer request list each Sunday and look at all these names. And some people we know, some we don't know. But I would suggest this. As a process of faithfulness, perhaps we can take these home and just pray for each individual on these prayer lists and just pray, even if we don't know their condition, but we can offer our prayers to God that they will support these individuals in their time of need. All right, let's go to the Lord now for a time of prayer. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, Creator of all the universe, we come to the church today to feel your presence. We come to hear your great lessons, to sing songs of praise, to offer our prayers, and to confess our shortcomings. We come to the church to find relief from the stresses of the world, and we come also to find refuge from the heat of the day. We know that you hear our prayers. Oh Lord, so often in the demands of the moment, we tend to take others or each other for granted, forgetting to put ourselves in the shoes of others. We pray for those who deserve but do not always receive the respect and consideration that is due them. Today we will hear your word about helping the poor and those with needs. Help us to hear the importance of serving those who have little in life. Help us to be faithful followers of your Son, Jesus, who continually sought to heal others of their poverty, of their hunger, of their illnesses, and of their thirst. We ask that you will bring light to those places in our world that are dark. We ask that you grant hope to those who live in obscurity, company to those who are lonely, and peace to those who have restless spirits, and health to those who are not whole. These things we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus, who taught us the prayer to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. It's your turn.
Isn't that the truth? Ushers, if you step forward. We pause this time in our service to return to God his tithes and our offerings, and we commit ourselves to be vessels to meet the needs of others. For those of you who don't know it, Amy and I own an air conditioning company, and the name of our company is Provision. And it's named that because every step of the way, from the time it was first a concept in our mind, God has provided for us. I mean, to the last detail. This time of year, it's very, very difficult to hire qualified people. We've had a lot of need for qualified people. It's very, very difficult to hire qualified people. And the last three people we've hired have come to us, come looking for us. One of them was in our living room when we found out, oh, that's what you do? It's amazing to see God working even in minor details like that. It challenges us to go out and be his provision for others, each and every one of us. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you do great and mighty things in this church, great and mighty things in our lives. And Father, we seek now that you would use us to do great and mighty things in the lives, in the neighborhoods, and in the hearts that surround us in this community. Father, I ask that you would give us the strength, give us the gumption, give us the abilities to go out and to be Jesus to those around us. May it all bring glory and honor to your name. And we ask it only in your Son's name. Amen.
And the joys may fall, my soul will rise, my soul will rise to you. Though my heart may fail, my soul will rise, my soul will rise to you. While there's breath in my lungs, I will praise you, Lord.
In the dead of night, I'll lift my eyes, I'll lift my eyes to you. waters rise, I'll lift my eyes to you. While there's hope in this heart, I will praise you, Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. When I cannot see you with my eyes, let faith arise to you. When I cannot feel your hand in mine, let faith arise to you. God of mercy and love, I will praise you, Lord. Oh, you shine with glory, Lord of light, I feel alive with you. In your presence now I come alive, I am alive with you. There is strength in my saying, I will praise you, Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. When sorrow comes my way, you are a shield around me. Always you remain my courage in the fight. I hear you call my name. Jesus, I am coming, walking on the waves, reaching for your light. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
All right, our scripture reading today is going to seem like it follows one particular theme, and it does. So I made mention in the prayer that we're going to talk about the poor, because this is the reading for this week that emphasizes Jesus' ministry to those who have little in life. And so we read from the sixth chapter of Mark, beginning with verse 30, and we go to 34. Afterwards, which we're not going to read, but it's the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. So keep that in mind as I read our scripture passages for today. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to land of Gennesaret and moored the boat. And when they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So as many of you know, Pam and I spent most of our vacation in Southern California here just a little over a week ago, and which I think is a land of milk and honey. Or it could be fruits and berries. It depends which, depends on your perspective. But I do love the natural setting of Southern California because the scenery is spectacular. Those of you who have been there, who have lived there, know that to be true. The ocean waters are crystal blue. The temperature is generally cool with low humidity. It wasn't cool when we were there, but generally it is. There's flowers, and I love flowers. They dot the highways and the byways. It's just all over the place, multiple colors. There's beaches, there's rolling hills. Essentially, you can have anything you want. It's all very beautiful there in Southern California or along the coast. But among all these scenic spots, there's one thing that it's also commonplace on the streets of San Diego and LA. You know what I'm talking about? The common thing that we see, that we can visualize in the streets of San Diego and LA, and that is homeless people. Homeless people can be found everywhere. You see them set up their tents on public sidewalks. I've seen tents on sidewalks like in neighborhoods. I don't know how many of you have sidewalks in front of your house. Can you imagine a tent being pitched in front of your house with homeless people living in it? It's not always in the inner city as we would like to think, especially in LA. It's spread out. You can see homeless people pushing their baskets, their grocery baskets or grocery carts around. And they're just full of, I don't know what it is, possessions of some sort of clothing, I'm guessing sleeping blankets for sleep or something. I just don't know. Or you can see them riding around on bicycles that have a basket, and they have as much stuff as they can carry in that basket and tie to the bicycle itself. Or you can simply see them sleep on the sidewalk. And so when we went to LA, I can remember seeing a couple of folks just sleeping right on the concrete, just asleep. So let's look at LA for a couple of moments. Last month, the LA Times reported that there were over 31,000 homeless people in LA. 31,500, crazy number, isn't it? That's a lot of people. And these include not people that just live on the streets, but also those who live in shelters. But still. But that same article reported for the first time that the homeless population actually went down a little bit. Down. Wow. Good news, but far from fixing the problem. You might be interested, you might find this interesting, but according to their research, the fastest growing group of homeless people are age 62 and above. It's like, why is that? Most are male, most are single, most are either black or Latino or Hispanic. The poverty level in LA is 21%, two out of 10 residents in LA are poor. Those without health care insurance also number about 20%. So quite frankly, it must be an overwhelming problem for the government of LA, the city of LA. How do you treat and take care of and house 31,000 people? And yet from the outside looking in, LA is considered a glamorous city. And when people think of LA, they think about Hollywood or Beverly Hills, or essentially where all the nation's fashions begin. They say it all begins on the West Coast and it moves across to the East. So let's look closer to home. Let's look at Dallas. I recall hearing on a national radio show one time I was driving, and somebody, and I can't remember the subject matter, but I remember somebody comment on the radio that Dallas looked ritzy, light up, brilliant from the outside. And indeed, I think the skyline of Dallas is beautiful. It's really an attractive city. But walk the streets of downtown area and the picture becomes quite different, right? I don't know who which of you have worked in downtown or are currently working in downtown, but you know what I'm talking about. Dallas homeless population is not even close to that of LA. But then again, what homeless person would want to live on the streets in Dallas? Because in the summer it's blistering hot, right? In the winter it's very cold. And in the spring there's always storms. So I can see why everybody wants to live out there in California where the weather and the climate is nice. And they can just live out on the street and live comfortably. But in Dallas it's different. Dallas has about 1,300 people that live on the streets and in shelters. 1,300, that's a lot still. 80% are males. And by the way, I looked up on a particular website that Garland has about 60 people that are homeless. 60, which is not bad. Right? I actually met a homeless young man here just a couple of months ago and had a nice discussion with him. He had no interest in living in a facility because I was talking to him about that. He just liked living off the land, okay? The poverty rate in Dallas is lower than LA at 16%, which is good, but the lack of health insurance is a similar rate as with LA at 22%. Now, you know, when people don't have health insurance, what do? They either suffer with their illness or they go to a county hospital. Who pays for health care at county hospitals? You do. That's right. That's the way it works. Here in the Dallas area, as noted earlier, we not only have a large homeless population, but we also have panhandlers. Now, panhandlers are in a whole different category than homeless people. Nevertheless, panhandlers are considered to be poor of financial resources. Panhandlers are people who seek money off the streets. And if you walk in downtown Dallas, you're likely to encounter such folks. In fact, you'll probably encounter multiple panhandlers. They're everywhere. The city has tried to do something about it, but they can't, because it's not illegal to be a panhandler. It's all a matter of free speech. A panhandler can generally be described as an unemployed, unmarried male in their 30s and 40s. So they're younger. And you may find this interesting, but most panhandlers don't suffer from mental illness. That's not their problem. Study shows that panhandlers typically suffer from substance abuse, such as alcohol or drug addiction. That's their number one concern. So this is why so many people have a difficult time giving money to these folks on the street, because they are likely to use those handouts for what? Drugs or alcohol. We hate to think that, because when we see people on the streets, particularly if they have a little dog next to them or something like that, you know, they look like they're unusually poor. We hate to just ignore those people. But yet, I've been in many settings when I was serving in the Dallas area where helping agencies would discourage clergy, churches, from giving money to those on the streets just because we're simply feeding, the idea is that we're simply feeding their habits, their way of life. Can you imagine how the city of Dallas must wrestle with what to do with all of its low-income citizens, homeless people, panhandlers, those that live in poverty, those who have no health insurance? It's got to be overwhelming. On the world level, it's believed that nearly half of the world's population, that's about 3 billion people, 3 billion people live on less than $2.50 a day. So I know some of you have stories back when you were young. Well, I only made a quarter an hour. I'm talking about today. Can you live on $2.50 a day? It's pretty hard to do. Now, share all these statistics to show the enormity of this problem, because it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. It's like, what do we do? As a church, we need to ask ourselves, what should we do with the poor and those without? How do we help these people? Well, I'm thinking that we should ask ourselves, what would Jesus do if he were here today? Which is the title of the message, WWJD. What would Jesus do? And I suspect that Jesus would act today as he did during his time on earth. As our lesson highlights for us, we find Jesus addressing the needs of the day. we didn't read this, but we saw in that same chapter we were reading that he fed the 5,000. He fed the hungry. And the other part of it, the second half of our lesson, we discovered Jesus healing the sick. In our lesson, the main emphasis is that Jesus is portrayed as the sustainer and giver of life. Sustainer and giver of life. Jesus gives hope to those who see no end, no answers, or anything in the future. Verse 34 states that Jesus had compassion upon those who were hungry. He had compassion. Some interpretations say he had pity. He didn't condemn the hungry. He had compassion. He sought to bring light into darkened worlds. As he expected disciples, the 12, or he expected them to do the same thing. And he would teach him as such. Heal. Help. It's interesting to note that when the disciples encouraged Jesus to finish his time feeding the 5,000, Jesus uses the emphatic personal pronoun, you give them something to eat. He says it just like that. You give them something to eat. Here the disciples are saying, hey, Jesus, time to move along. We're all tired and everything. If as a church we are expected to follow the example of Christ, why then do some grumble when we encounter poor people or those who are without? Some of us are like Jesus' disciples who just want to just move along and just ignore facing this overwhelming situation of poverty and hunger. But Jesus was clear, you give them something to eat. You know, poverty is an overwhelming problem, but that doesn't mean that we are to ignore or judge the poor that live in our area. Contrary to this way of treating those without, we are to show compassion. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, didn't Jesus say you will always have the poor with you? And indeed, Jesus did say that. We can read that in Matthew 26, verse 11, and John 12, verse 8. It's the same account. You will always have the poor with you. But Jesus wasn't saying we shouldn't fight poverty or help those in need. That's not what Jesus was saying. He was only given a description of the way the world actually is, not the way it should be. See the difference there? He was simply describing the world as it was, but not the way it should be. In fact, the Bible repeatedly commands us as a church to help the needy and condemns those who take advantage of the poor. It is a common thread that runs from the Old Testament to the New Testament. God told his people in the Old Testament, as recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 11, open your hand to the poor and needy neighbor in your land. Open your hand to the poor and your needy neighbor in your land. And then in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 12, verse 33, Jesus told his disciples, sell your possessions and give it to the poor. And then we could go on and on. I mean, there's so many scripture passages that make reference on how God encourages his people to help those with needs. Frankly, I am always puzzled over why some Christian groups and fellowships, churches perhaps, justify to themselves that it is irresponsible to help the poor. You ever heard somebody have a conversation like that? Oh, well, they made their own bed. They should be able to lie in it. It's not my problem. But I hear this all the time, even within church circles. I don't understand when Christians become self-righteous when it comes to this issue. Just because some people have been blessed for whatever reason, opportunities, you know, good head on their shoulders, whatever, healthy, it doesn't make us any better than anybody else, right? I don't understand when some Christians label those that are concerned with social issues as automatically being bleeding heart liberals. I don't understand that. Because from a Christian perspective, social issues are forefront. So shouldn't Christians do all that they can do to fight oppression and poverty and unemployment or unfair wages and the ill effects of some people who take advantage of the poor and those without. Because you know that happens, that people take advantage of the poor and those without. Shouldn't Christians rally to support those without a home, those who travel by foot, those who are falsely judged as being lazy or illegal? Shouldn't Christians cry out against dehumanizing or demonizing poor people because they are poor? Because, my friends, it's not always their fault. It's not always because of poor decisions. I don't know how many of you go to the State Fair every year. The State Fair is located in southern Dallas. So most of us know that the area around there is challenged economically, right? There's a lot of homes around there. Good people down there, because I've been down there. Very good people, but they live in settings that are not conducive to a higher income. What do you notice about southern Dallas? You don't see a Tom Thumb in southern Dallas. You don't see a Kroger Marketplace in southern Dallas. You may see one grocery store within a 12-mile radius, but most of the stores in southern Dallas are convenience stores that charge higher prices for the things that you and I buy at grocery stores. Did you know this to be true? Convenience stores. In many of the places to eat in southern Dallas, it's not Red Lobster, right? It's not Applebee's, right? It's Taco Bell. Or fast food places, McDonald's. How healthy is it to eat a McDonald's hamburger every day, right? Some people say, well, why is it that poor people are so heavy? There's a reason. They can't afford good quality food as many of us can. They can only afford the $1 hamburger or the $1 for two tacos at Jack in the Box, which is not healthy eating. So they're just consuming all these calories, right? Besides, let me just say this. If poor decisions cause great distress upon a person, say they made irresponsible decisions, how would you think Jesus would react to these kind of people? What do you think Jesus would do? What would Jesus do for those who live irresponsibly? Well, if you've read these stories of how Jesus helps people, he also demonstrates a pattern. He'll hold out his hand and offer to help somebody get up on their feet. Or he'll tell them, stand up and take your mat. Or something like that. He would encourage a person to rise and become anew. You could say that he encouraged a resurrection event upon everybody he met, coming from the old and to the new. So he would offer another opportunity to the people he met. And then he would say, go and sin no more. Which I interpreted mean, learn from your mistakes and avoid repeating them. We've all given those lessons to our kids, surely, or our parents have done that to us. We continue to learn lessons. We continue to make mistakes. But God is not ignoring those people who make mistakes. All the more God tries to reach into the hearts of those individuals. Now, I am grateful, truly grateful, that there are Christians who care. I suspect that's the case with our church, of course. There are many churches that have food banks and clothing banks, preschools, educational classes, community support groups, parenting classes, healthcare clinics. There are many churches that help our kids across in the neighborhood by their ministry. There are many denominations and churches that give money to help people throughout the world. I'm excited about that. According to the website charitynavigator.org, total giving to charitable organizations worldwide, not just the Christian church, but worldwide, in 2017 was an astonishing $410 billion. So there are people who are recognizing that the poor, those without, the sick, the lame, need help. It shows the magnitude of how impacting the church or the religious community throughout the world has answered the call. Now, churches know that they cannot change the world alone, but that they can do something to help, and collectively they can do a lot. We as Methodist people are a connectional system. We give to this thing called apportionments, which is a pot of money that's collected from every Methodist church, and it channels out to help those in need, like stop malaria or provide schools for those communities that don't have good education. Churches can minister to their immediate communities and give financial assistance to communities around the world. Most importantly, churches can model the example of Christ and leave judgments to God. We can follow the example of Christ and leave the judgments to God. So today's message is so important because it reminds us as a church that we are mandated to help the poor, the sick, the lame, and those that have needs. That is part of our responsibility as a church family. We should all know this, but sometimes we have to be reminded when we start thinking in other ways. Today's message is so important because it does really answer the question, what would Jesus do? Amen. If you'd like to know more about the church or to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ, as I always give the invitation, you're welcome to come forward and I'll have a time of prayer with you. Otherwise, I would encourage you to call me or email me sometime during the week and we can set up a meeting and discuss that pathway at that time. All right.
Thanks, Dan.
Now, my friends, if you'll receive this word of grace, this is from the book to Isaiah, chapter 51, various passages. Listen to me, my people, and give heed to me, my nation. For a teaching will go out from me, and my justice for a light to the peoples, and my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will never be ended. Amen.
Amen. Before we have our benediction, I don't know if you noticed that we have a different drummer up here. I've not kicked my husband out, and don't tell him that he did an awesome job. But this is Riley, and he is a band director at Forney High School, and I really missed the drums last week, and so it was like, I have to have drums. And so Mark found Riley for us, and so let's thank him for coming this morning.
Wow, thank you.
So, benediction.
Let's join hands.